All right. Well, good afternoon. I hope you're all doing well out there in YouTube land. And somebody asked me why I play some of the same songs. Well, I like them. That's why I play them. That's the reason I play them, because I like them. And I think I probably play a different variety than a lot of people do. I don't think a lot of people play any. I think this broadcast is kind of unique in a lot of ways, but anyway, whatever. I'm not too worried about it. Everybody's a critic, and I've learned that the only one I really need to please is the Lord, and then everybody else, if they like it, great. If they don't, I'll still keep doing what I'm doing. Anyway, all right. So, let's see. Anyway, we'll get to a few things here right off the bat. Danielle, nobody likes a pushy woman. I certainly don't like a pushy woman. I'll certainly tell you when you're being a pushy woman. I can't stand pushy women. You can go tell somebody else what to do. You can go tell a man what to do, some other man in your life what to do. I'm not one of those men that you can do that to. I don't put up with it. I don't like it. I don't put up with it. And if you don't like it, I'm okay with that. But I don't let women push me around. I don't let them bark at me, and I don't let them poke at me. If you poke at me, you're going to get poked at back. That's just the way it's going to be. I don't let women do that to me. There's too many loudmouth women in this world today. There's absolutely too many of them out there. Anyway, so there you have it. That's the way it goes. But All right. I want to show you a few things here first before I get into the broadcast here today about some new sermons, that some new sermon series that I put out there. I haven't put these on YouTube yet. Luke's going to work on these here. But I want you to take a look at these because I think it'll help you. This is called The Keeping of the, Keeping the Kids. It's a book based off of... it's written by David Cloud. He gathered together about 40 other preachers or so, many others, maybe hundreds of others, Christian workers, people that raise their kids for the glory of God. And, you know, they wrote this book together, and it's really good. It's really helpful. And I wanted to kind of help some of our families in our church because some of them come from a background of which they have no background of parents raising them. They have absolutely none. So in order for them to deal with that, basically, I wanted to kind of help them systematically a little bit and give them something that would be a blessing to them. And I decided to go ahead and put it online. This is the introduction, the overview. I tried to keep these at an hour long. Let's see what the other one is, if I kept it pretty close. 68 minutes. I was pretty close. This was the second one, Keeping the Kids. And this is the first real lesson. Lesson one, real conversion versus salesman's techniques. Hi, Cindy. Hope you're doing well. Good to see you. And Lisa, good to see you as well. Hope you're doing good on here. Hope all is well. Brother Carl and Jessica. And Daryl and Teresa, good to have you all on. But I think that these will help you. I think that they'll be a blessing to you and give you some good ideas. I've already taken some of the ideas. I read a shorter booklet that he wrote on discipline that he handed out free, that he gave free online. And I read that. And I read most of it, skimmed through some of it. Some of it I didn't necessarily need to, I wasn't concerned with. But anyway, basically, I read most of the book and that section on discipline, and it was very good. And I was going to initially teach just on discipline. And I started to look at this book and I was like, you know what? I think we ought to go through the whole thing. Because I think they make some really, these preachers and preachers' wives and deacons' wives and church members' wives, people that have raised children, faithful men and women of God down through the ages, that have, in the last 40, 50 years, that is, that have raised their children that are serving the Lord and being faithful to God. And I thought it would be a help. So I wanted that on out there. And then I was initially just going to do it for our church. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll just throw it online, whatever. So I did. So there's two in that series. We already put them up, and we'll get them on YouTube here sometime in the future. Well, Danielle, you didn't suggest changing anything. You just complained about what was being said, about what was being done. Having a suggestion is, Hey, brother, could we suggest some songs, or could I send something to you or something of that nature? That would be, but that's not how you came across. You came across as having a problem with what is being there and complaining. That isn't the way that you suggest anything. I wouldn't have had a problem with any suggestion you would have made. It wasn't a suggestion. That's not what it was. I would be careful about how you frame your words. I would go back and look at how you said that. Look at it and try to think of a better way that you could have communicated that. That's what I would do. And all I can say about the Jezebel thing, if the shoe fits, wear it. That's all I can say. If you don't want to wear it, repent of it and take the shoe off and throw it. That's what I would do. Anyway, So I think that this would be a blessing to many people. So that's why we put it on there. Let's see. And then there's a new series that I started yesterday. It's a Baptist history series that will deal with teaching Baptist history. But first, we start with principles of a New Testament church or marks of a New Testament church, and I'm going to go through the Baptist distinctives, and I'm going to start there before I get into the history. After I get through the distinctives or marks of a New Testament church, then we're going to go into the next phase, which will be I'm going to deal with the apostles and the historical record of the apostles and their martyrdom, and then some of those first century Christians that are mentioned in the Bible that were martyred. And then we'll get into actual churches and their histories down through the ages. So some of those things you'll see coming up here, and I'd encourage you to listen and, you know, or watch, whichever you're going to do in the future. I think they'll be a blessing. So take advantage of some of those. I added another hour in of, so I preach on Sunday morning, usually for over an hour, and then I do that keeping the kids, and then I do Baptist history or catechism, whichever I decide to do. Anyway, so let's get into this. I want to show you some things. Now, I want to show you some things that I believe are very serious today. You know, I have talked to you about end times sins. And remember, we just talked about sorcery. But I titled this, message in dealing with this about digital fornication, because that word pornea, pornography, that is the same word as fornication. If you look at that, let me get it for you here. Religious tolerance. I don't know what this website is, but check this out. Are key used to refer to sexual sins in the scriptures. They appear dozens of times. And now look at this. It says, religious liberals tend to define the terms narrowly and precisely. And then we come to religious conservatives often define the words to include a wide assortment of sexual activities when practiced with a wide range of relationships. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not going to get into any graphic, deep, nasty talk. It's not necessary. Okay? I'm not trying to do that. That's not the goal here. I do plan on dealing with the effects of pornography on the mind. Again, I did a long time ago. I preached on pornography and mind control, rewiring your brain. I'm going to update that with some things, and I'm going to look at that in the future. There's some things that I'm going to deal with. Obviously, I'm going to be very cautious and careful. I'm not trying to defile anyone. That's not my goal. And I want to be careful about that. So, but that word, you see that word pornea, it's where we get the word pornography from. That's where the word comes from. Now, it's important to understand the Bible foretold of these days. It told us, the Bible, the Word of God told us that there's going to come a time, right? There's going to come a time when they would not repent of some sins. Neither repented they of their murders. What's that? Abortion. Neither repented they of their murders, their abortions. Nor of their sorceries. Nor of their fornication. Remember we talked about that sorceries, that Greek word pharmakia. It's the same word where we get the word pharmacy from. Drugs, sorcery, especially when it's abused. How do I liken that? Well, pharmakia is not abused. Medicine is not abused if it's given for the right reasons to help the right things under a moderate care and a proper use. But in this way, it was their sorceries, their drug abuse. Nor of their fornication, nor of their porneia. They repented not of their pornography. Their digital fornication. Because that's really where this is at. We're at a time now, these are those end times antichrist sins that are rising to the top. And we are seeing it full scale. Now, I want to give you some statistics that I think are unbelievable. And it just shows the seriousness of the issue. Again, it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Are these not like the end time sins? I mean, they're pretty much what we're dealing with, the primary ones that we're dealing with. I mean, it's there, right? We're not getting around it. We're not getting away from it. It's getting worse. And there's an absolute rise. And I'll tell you what, nobody wants to talk about this. It's uncomfortable. I don't even like trying to search for it because I'm like trying to be careful about everything that I'm doing because I don't want to be defiled. So I'm being very cautious and careful how I deal with it. Because I absolutely hate it so much. I hate it. I don't want to be afflicted by it. I don't want to be tempted by it. I don't really want to see any of it. So I was very careful about how I type things in to make sure. I could not find, there was a video, and I couldn't find it, not a video, but an article on some new internet invention that they invented at this latest, in Las Vegas, Nevada, at this latest thing. Pastor Mike talked about it, and I didn't get a chance to finish watching his program. He was talking about different things, and that was just a snippet of what he said, but it got me going like, man, I better go off into this, and I want to talk about that. And I couldn't find it. So, but anyway, it's a real problem. It's a problem in many churches. It's a problem with some pastors. it's a problem with men in general and women sometimes, but mostly men. I mean, I'm not saying women don't get into it. It's just men are a lot worse. And I think people are scared to touch it. That's like, take a look at this. Some of the number one searches are some of the number one sermons on my sermon audio page. I want to show you this. Look what they are. Number one downloaded sermons. Look at this. Now, C.S. Lewis, those are all number one. But pornography is mind control, almost 7,000 downloads. The perils of pornography, 4,800. Warring against porn, 3,800. Inordinate affection, almost 3,500. Most of the top sermons that people have listened to from me on sermon audio are dealing with pornography. Why is that? Because it's a damaging, wicked thing. That's why. It's of Satan. Fornication is of the devil, and Satan never stops. It's not new. It's been going on since the fall of man. It's been going on since man's fall. It's all over the Bible. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Here's where you know. Here's where the pornography took place in the Bible. 24 times you find the word groves. Let's do a search. Let's do with the asterisk, grove. 41 times. Now, not all groves were in that, okay? But the heathens, but thus shall you do with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images. What were their images? And cut down their groves and burn their graven images. What were their images? Porn. They made naked images. That's what they did. They made those images. They created those images. They carved those images. I'm not going to get into anything descriptive. I'm not trying to defile anyone. I'll keep it biblical. Here's what I'm saying to you. You have the Baal and Ashtaroth. Okay? You have Baal and Ashtaroth. So with that, you can put two and two together, right? One plus one equals two. You get that, right? You don't have that with the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You do not have the sons of God, daughters of men, male, female religions that are taught. You do not have those cults that are taught by God. That's why God said, you shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods, destroy the names of them out of that place. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God. See this? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. What were the groves? The groves, they were images that they carved into trees. They were pornographic images. You know, you hear this a lot. How wicked the Jews are. And I agree. But have you ever taken a look at Italian art? They're all a bunch of nude homos. It's like they can't make anything with clothes on. Why? Because they're perverts. You ever been in Roman Catholic churches? They're perverts. You ever seen the Vatican? They're perverts. They're a bunch of perverts. You go over to the Capitol buildings, and what do they have? Half-naked God touching the finger of man. Half-naked women sitting up there. And what about, I've got another one for you. Here's another one for you. What about movies? Bible movies. I'm going to tell you what, you European people over there are a bunch of perverts. All your statues are naked. All the stuff you make are naked. Everything you people do over there has to be naked. I don't care what they are. All of them. Go to Brazil, go to any of those places. They all got naked people. They can't put any clothes on. Bunch of perverts. And they call that art. I don't call it art. It's called pornography. So they made these groves. They made these groves, right? And they would make them there, and then they would worship the male-female. By the way, I forgot. Let me get back to that. How about all the Bible movies? You ever notice how everybody, and I don't watch any of those movies anymore, okay? But you ever notice how in any of those Bible movies, Moses has got one peck hanging out? He's walking around strutting his stuff. You got women with their cleavage showing all the way down, breasts hanging out, right? David run around in Palestine with no shirt on, right? But now, go to the Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Is that really how God clothed his people? I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's look at it. Unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. He covered them. God covered them. What did he say in Revelation? I know this is a picture because I talked about this. It's spiritual, but you get the physical understanding of it in Revelation chapter 3. What's he say to him? I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Okay, so anyway, my point is that Hollywood is such a lie. First of all, Moses didn't come down with the mountain. He wasn't like half naked, okay? Moses went, and you can't run around in the desert out there like that anyway. You'd stink and fry. It's just stupid. It's not even reality. Rob Lee asked the question, wasn't Jesus nude when he was crucified? Yes, because he bore the shame of my sin. That's why he was nude, because he bore the shame of my sin. And that's why it says that you're not to make an image of Jesus either. You're not to make an image of God. So anyway, so here you have these groves, right? You have this in the Bible already. God's already saying this. He said they served Balaam and they served Ashtaroth. The Bible warns about that. They weren't to have a grove next to there, because what they do in those groves, what were they? They were pornea cults. They were fornication cults. That's what they were. And God hated them. Absolutely hated them. He said, don't just burn them all down. That's what God said to do with them. So, pornography is not new. It's nothing new. It isn't a new thing. The Bible speaks that in these, we're already seeing it. We're already seeing it now. But I want you to look at some of these statistics, and I'm not about to bring them all to you today, everything that I want to. It's something we're going to have to talk about again. It's a reoccurring subject that has to be brought up again. More Christian men need to be careful, be wise. More Christian wives, watch their children. Be careful, watch their children so that their children don't fall into that, that they're being careful. They know what their kids are doing. Yeah, there's no way to justify Disney. Absolutely no way. I want to show you some statistics here. Let's talk about these and we'll go back to the Word of God. Internet pornography by the numbers. A significant threat to society. News media organizations often treat specific internet safety issues as fads. After being the hot topic, issues fall out of favor, becoming old news in spite of ongoing risks and threats. We've seen this with pornography, child predators, chat room risks, meeting strangers, and more recently, sexting. Today, the hot topic is cyberbullying. But given the nature of our media cycles, we should expect to see this join the ranks of old news by the end of the year. What are the costs of internet pornography? Internet pornography was the first big internet safety topic to make news and has remained largely out of favor among the popular press ever since. But that doesn't mean the issues and the costs have vanished or that it's just an issue among right-wing prudes. In fact, there's significant research emanating from academic circles which suggests that online pornography is not without significant social and economical loss. Look at this. The societal costs of pornography are staggering. The financial cost to business productivity in the U.S. alone is estimated at $16.9 billion annually. But the human toll, particularly among our youth and our families, is greater. Look at that, 16.9 billion. That's what it costs companies in America. According to Patrick F. Fagan, psychologist and former Deputy Assistant Health and Human Services Secretary, two recent reports, one by the American Psychological Association on hypersexualized girls and the other by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy on the pornographic content of phone texting among teenagers, make clear that digital revolution is being used by younger and younger children to dismantle the barriers that channel sexuality into family life. Pornography hurts adults, children, couples, families, and societies. It hinders the child's development. It distorts attitudes and social realities in families. It leads to marital dissatisfaction, infidelity, separation, and divorce. Look at this cost. In February 2010, let me see if I can... Let's see. Was it this one? No, wasn't that one. Let's see. There we go. Made a little bigger for you. Sorry. The cost, February, the number of people using a work computer to visit pornographic-oriented websites was as high as 28%. The average visit to pornography sites from a work computer was about 13 minutes. During the month, the average worker was estimated to spend 1 hour and 38 minutes in such sites. If we leverage data extracted on March 30th, 2012, now that's 7-8 years ago. Way worse now. The average hourly rate was $23.23 an hour. We multiply by 1 hour, 38 minutes. We see the loss of roughly $38 a month per employee due to pornography usage in the workplace. Multiply that by 12 months. A yearly loss of $456 coming from every employee that views pornography can be estimated. The number of U.S. employees reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics as of March 30th was 132 million. If we divide this by 28% of employees who use a work computer to visit pornographic sites, up to 37 million employees view pornography in the workplace. If 37 million employees are viewing an average amount of pornography cited by the Nielsen Company, the annual productivity loss to company is a staggering $16.9 billion. Look, every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet. Every second. $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography on the internet. Every second. It's probably higher now, more like $5,000. Every second. Every second, 372 people are typing the word adult into a search engine. Every day, 37 pornographic videos are created in the U.S. I guarantee you, that's every day. I guarantee you that's a way higher amount now. Every day, 2.5 billion emails containing pornography are sent or received. Every day, 68 million search queries related to pornography, 25% of total searches are generated. 116,000 queries related to child pornography are received. Look at how it affects Americans. You know, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. About 200,000 Americans are classified as porn addicts. Guarantee you it's higher than that now. Guarantee you it is. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites. Guarantee you that's up way over that now. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. So probably like 50% now. This was a few years ago, I'm sure. 35% of all, but let's just take the number 35. Of internet users have experienced unwanted exposure to pornographic content through ads, pop-up ads, misdirected links, or emails. Boy, that's for sure. I'm stinking get sick of that garbage they put on there all the time. Anywhere you go, they try to slip that garbage in. One third of porn viewers are women. By focusing on the data behind the creation and consumption of pornographic content, the dangers facing people can easily be overlooked. The sheer magnitude of available online pornography is merely one aspect of a larger issue that plagues society. Look how it hurts teens. One area of study considered important among development experts is the effect of pornography on teens and young adults. It increases the odds of teen pregnancy. Teenagers with frequent exposure to that content on TV have a substantially greater likelihood of teenage pregnancy. And the likelihood of teen pregnancy was twice as high, doubles when the quantity of the content exposure within the viewing episodes was high. So that's not even, that I would classify most what's showed on TV as pornography. Right? Most what's shown on TV is pornography. That's why pop culture, television, and movies and everything is garbage, because that's what it shows. That's what it teaches people. It hinders development, sexual development. Pornography viewing by teens disorients them during the development phase when they have to learn how to handle. They go through puberty. They're going through those things of life. They're learning to handle it when they're most vulnerable to the uncertainty about their beliefs and moral values. They say this, blocking internet-connected devices from accessing adult material is a good start in keeping pornography out of the reach of teens. Amen. A good start is monitoring when they're, if they are on the internet for any reasons. And I believe this to be true. It raises the risk of depression. A significant relationship also exists among teens between frequent pornography use and feelings of loneliness, including major depression. Boy, that's for sure. Major depression. Like any drugs, marijuana, like anything that stimulates the mind like that, like any of those things, all those things damage the mind. All of them do. They damage and they depress. That's right, Andrea. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. Keeping it clean, obviously, but we're going to talk about that just a little bit. It creates distorted expectations which hinder healthy development. Adolescents exposed to high levels of pornography have lower levels of self-esteem. What does that mean? It means that they've dreamed up this fantasy thing in their mind of, and then they end up getting married and it's not, that's not what they thought because they saw a bunch of things that were lies. You see, Satan gave them digital pornography. He gave them digital fornication. They fed themselves up on digital fornication. And then what happened when it came to that point, they couldn't do anything. Because of digital fornication. It's like a drug and nothing was exciting to them any longer. Nothing moved them or stimulated them or they were excited anymore about anything like that. Why? Because they burned it out in their mind. And I'm going to tell you what. High levels of pornography use really makes people weird. I could see these young millennials when I see them. They can't look you in their eye. They can't have a conversation. They don't act like men. They got the self-esteem of like, they have no self-esteem at all. They have no confidence at all. Why? Because they've been sitting in their mom's basement being a stinking pervert for the last 5 years of their life. And nobody's watched them. And they can't do anything in their lives because they have no confidence. Why? Because they live in some stinking pipe dream of something that's not real. That Satan lied to them. That he digitally mastered for them in a computer somewhere. And that flicker rate and everything else that developed in their minds and it addicted them to it. And they can't even be a man and take care of their wife. They can't take care of their children. They can't be a man. They can't lead a family. They can't be a man to their wives. They can't do any of those things. Why? Because it's been burned out of them and destroyed through pornography. Listen to me. I've pastored people in the past. I've dealt with people before that they don't even sleep in the same bed as their wife. That they stay up all hours of the night and they're not even sleeping. That's what happens. Exactly what happens. It distorts the mind and it gives them, so you can't live, man, you can't be satisfied. The eyes of a man are never satisfied when they follow their flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's a price to pay for sin. Thank God for Jesus Christ and forgiveness. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that we can walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. Thank God for that movement of God. And salvation to change a man. Turns you from a pervert into a child of the King. Then you have the family and marital pornography stats. According to National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families, 47% in 2010, this was 8 years ago, 2010, 40% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. 50%. Fifty percent. 50%. Half of American families that were polled, the percentage was half. Right? Pornography use increases the marital infidelity rate by 300%. 300%. That's right, Carl, I forgot. 10 years ago. I'm getting old. 300%. Oh. Men running out on their wives increases the number by 300%. Percent of people identified as sex addicts lose their spouses. 40%. Percent suffer considerable financial losses. And about 33% lose their jobs. Sound like something you want to do? Sound like a direction you want to go? I want kids everywhere, young people everywhere to know and be warned what this garbage is. Percent of divorce cases involve one party meeting a new paramour over the internet, while 56% involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. You look at these statistics. These numbers. You look at them. See if I had another one here that I wanted to talk about. Let's see if it's up here. Might have been this one. Let me see. I don't think that's the one I was looking for. Could be this one. Let's see. See, when was this one? Is there a date on this? Let's see if there is. See, 12% of total websites that contain pornography, according to Good Magazine, 25% of search engines request related to pornography, 28,000 number of internet users viewing pornography every second. We talked about that one. 75 million average monthly unique visitors on adult websites. That was old. These are old numbers. I have to try to get some. I'm very careful because I'm trying to type this in. You know, but I, Percentage of kindergarten and first grade students who have reported seeing online. This is 2008. Look how old these stats are. 89 amount spent on porn. Yeah, this it's more than that now. 13 billion, way more than that now. Way more than that. These are old numbers. You know, it's become so every day now. It's become so every day now that nobody really cares to talk about it. It's not that big of a deal anymore. You know, it's become an issue now to where it isn't a big deal to people. And why is that? Well, because it's every day now. It's so many people, and then nobody wants to talk about those uncomfortable subjects. Nobody wants to deal with that. But you know what? The church has a responsibility, and pastors have a responsibility to deal with this topic and to talk about it. To deal with it. What are the end time sins? Twice we find it. Romans 1:31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. What is pornography but men that are lovers of their own selves? Not to mention the amount of homosexuality that is involved with that when men are viewing things like that. It's wicked is what it is. It's vile. Let's see. What was I looking for here? Oh, I know what I was looking for. But there's another thing that's coming up on the scene that's big now. And it's these robots, these AI. There's this artificial intelligence boom that has taken place. And what do you have now? They're making these robots. They're making these robots, these artificial intelligence robots, more lifelike. And what they're doing, is preparing man to merge with the machine. See, here's the thing. You have all these people now that are producing these fornication, these pornea bots. And these pornea bots, they're going to give them to convicted felons. That are convicted of crimes, and they're going to give them, as if pornography has helped, when, who was it? Was it, let me think here. on a second.
What I'm trying to tell you is...
I want you to see this. This pornography, it didn't help.
Honestly, as I know how, what happened, and I think this is a message I want to get across. But as a young boy, and I mean a boy of 12 or 13, certainly, that I encountered outside the home again in the local grocery store, the local drugstore, the softcore pornography, what people call softcore. But as I think I explained to you last night, Dr. Dobson, in an anecdote, that as young boys do, we explored the back roads and sideways and byways of our neighborhood, and oftentimes people would dump the garbage and whatever they were cleaning out of their house, and from time to time we'd come across pornographic books of a harder nature than, more graphic, you might say, more explicit nature than we would encounter, let's say, in your local grocery store. And this also included such things as, let's say, detective magazines and more hardcore.
Those that involve violence.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I this is something I think I want to emphasize, is the most damaging kinds of pornography. And I'm talking from personal experience, hard, real personal experience. The most damaging kinds of pornography are those that involve violence and sexual violence. Because the wedding of those two forces, as I know only too well, brings about behavior that is just too terrible to describe.
Now, walk me through that. What was going on in your mind at that time?
Okay, before we go any further, I think it's important to me that people believe what I'm saying, to tell you that I'm not blaming pornography, and not saying that it caused me to go out and do certain things, and I take full responsibility for whatever I've done and all the things that I've done. That's not the question here. The question and the issue is how this kind of literature contributed and helped mold and shape the kinds of violent behavior.
It fueled your fantasies, though.
Well, in the beginning, it fuels this kind of thought process. Then, at a certain time, it's instrumental in what I would say crystallizing it, making it into something which is almost like a separate entity inside. And at that point, you're at the verge, or I was at the verge of acting out on these kinds of thoughts.
Now, I really want to understand that. You had gone about as far as you could go in your own fantasy life with printed material, and you made or printed and video or film
photos, magazines, what have you.
Yeah. And then there was the urge to take that little step or big step over to a physical event.
And it happened in stages, gradually. It doesn't necessarily, not to me at least, happen overnight. My experience with, I say, pornography generally, but with pornography that deals on a violent level with the sexuality, is that once you become addicted to it, and I look at this as a kind of addiction, like other kinds of addiction, I would keep looking for more potent, more explicit, more graphic kinds of material. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder, something which gives you a greater sense of excitement. Until you reach the point where the pornography only goes so far, you reach that jumping off point where you begin to wonder if maybe actually doing it will give you that which is beyond just reading about it or looking at it.
So it gives you something to think about. Here's a serial killer, right? And he's saying that this affected him. This affected his life. And this caused him to sin against, this caused it, I mean, it didn't, it wasn't, I mean, every man is drawn away and enticed of his own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin would bringeth forth, then sin bringeth forth death. He said it himself, he wasn't blaming that on pornography exactly, but it sure did distort his mind. It sure absolutely did distort his mind. God said it would. God said your eye affects your heart. That that if you sin against the Lord, that's going to happen. Look what he said. Let's see. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will everyone do the imaginings of our evil hearts. So see, they gave into their own devices. They were given over to their own devices. Let's see. Let me look. I was looking for a verse here. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see, not that one. There's one, we walk after our own devices. They will do the imagination of their own hearts. So basically, God gave them over to their own devices. And with that, they were taken by the imagination of their hearts. And that's what's going on today in this world. That's what they're being consumed by. So much so that, as we read, that, let's go back to our text verse here in Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders. Look what's going on here. Look at the background. And the four angels were loose, which prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But these three was the third part. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. So, here's all this that's happening. And they're not repenting. They're still continuing with their sin and wickedness. God gives them over to that. Eventually, God's going to give them over to their sin. The Bible says they would not receive Let's see, it's the love of the truth. It says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's their lot. That's where they're headed. God's going to just give them over to their sin, let them have it. you know, if that's what they want, then he'll give it to them. And this AI, does anybody remember what that broadcast was called, or what that technology seminar was called that they just had? I cannot remember it. I wanted to look that up, and I wanted to show you something because it's very relevant to this. Maybe I'll find it here in a second.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of death, oh, sweet hour.
All right. I think you're right. I think it is CES. That's what it looked like in Las Vegas. And I'm just trying to figure out what that specific one was called. I texted Pastor Mike. Maybe he'll get back to me here in a second. He just got back to me, so I'm waiting for another text from him. But I was trying to remember what in the world that was, because it was significant to what I'm talking about right now. And it's going to be very, very specific, significant in the future, I believe. You are going to see the rise of this pornography, the rise of this perversion more and more. Isn't this telling, though, in the scriptures? Don't we see this as the way that it's going to go? Satan is always innovating and bringing out new ways to deceive people. And with the rise of this AI and everything else, we're seeing it. We're seeing it full steam ahead. Let me see here. Let's see. Was it in L.A.? No, it wasn't in L.A. It was in Las Vegas. So anyway, but there. I want to be careful because I don't just want to type in with these AI bots, because, I mean, the internet's just, they're just full of a bunch of perverts. So I don't want that. But anyway, that's what it was, be found in Christ. That's what it was. It was this... Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I absolutely believe that. There was also, let me see if I can find this. Where did I see that ad? No, I know where it was. I know where it was. It was right here. Let's see. It was right here. Let's see. That wasn't it. Let's go to the front page. I just saw this, and I think this is another. Oh, that's not it. No, where's it at? Hang on. Here it is, right here. Here it is. I think this is going to have something to do with pornography, too. Let's see. Let me click over here and show you this. Computer wearable company Mojo Lens, offering contact lenses with augmented reality speed, are transitioning from humans into cyborgs. Meet Mojo Lens, a smart contact lens with a built-in display that gives you timely information without interrupting your focus. By understanding your real-world context, Mojo Lens provides relevant eyes-up notifications and answers designed by optometrists, technologists, and medical experts. You're not even going to have to go search for it. It's going to be right in your eye. They call it invisible computing, which with each passing tech cycle, the results are getting more and more spectacular. True smart contact lens. The ability to augment the reality they are viewing. Think about that. It elevates your vision, turning you into a god, right? Look at it.
Imagine having the entire internet available at the blink of an eye with a computer monitor on your contact lens. It's already more science than fiction.
You may be walking through a street and you see a restaurant and you'd like to have more information about this restaurant. That can be displayed in front of your eyes. You can imagine a number of different things. A personal GPS type thing that would show you directions to your destination. That information can be superimposed to what you would normally see.
At the University of Washington, a research team has set its sights on creating a real bionic eye. The challenge? Build a screen as small as your iris and figure out how to wirelessly connect it to a computer you put in your pocket.
It's a very complicated device to make because we have to incorporate high-performance circuitry on a contact lens. We have to put small radios on the contact lens to be able to communicate with this device, send data to the lens, perhaps get some data back.
They start by boiling up some lead-free solder to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Into that, they dip a small polymer wafer that has a tiny circuit board etched onto one side of it.
So once these small components are assembled, we coat everything in a biocompatible polymer and mold the substrate into the right shape to make a contact lens.
To test it, the team tries sending a radio signal to a prototype lens that holds a single pixel.
So what we're trying to do is demonstrate a one-pixel display that's wirelessly powered. So we have an RF transmitter that's transmitting power and data over to a small silicon chip on a contact lens.
And we have contact. The lens picks up the signal and lights up the pixel.
That is wonderful. You'd see that all the hard work has finally paid off, so we're all ecstatic.
So what if we take it to the next step? What if there are lots of pixels to spell out words and make pictures?
Yo, Nicole, how you doing?
Hi,
how's Brooklyn
you?
Treating you? Great to see you too. Your dog okay?
Fine.
I saw some really cool pictures. Keep it up, keep it up. Oh, Alana, hey. I haven't seen you since South by in Austin.
I know.
How's the video blogging stuff going?
It's actually started out like
good. Rock it out. I'm going to check out that latest episode. That's really nice. That's really nice. Desi. What's up? What's up? What's up? And I heard you finally getting out of Jersey, going to D.C.
Definitely, man.
Treasury Department, right?
Yeah, your hometown, dude.
See, I don't trust you with my money, but congratulations anyway. You know what I mean? Congratulations.
But hold up a minute. Before we get too carried away with this Terminator vision, when we last left Babak and his team, they had only managed to put one measly pixel on a lens. That's like staring at a flashlight compared to a TV screen. This idea is going to need some work.
The first pixel was definitely the most difficult. So going from 1 to 10 is going to be a lot easier than going from 0 to 1. And I think it would get definitely easier and easier, probably up to a point, and then again get more difficult as we get to extremely small dimensions.
It would take about a million pixels to create the images we want, and you can't do that by hand. So, Babak's gang dreamed up a shortcut. It's a technique called self-assembly. They make a liquid containing thousands of free-floating pixels. Then they sandwich a circuit board between two pieces of glass. When they pour the liquid into the sandwich, the pixels stick to the metal on the circuit board. With a breakthrough or two, a real bionic lens could be on the market. Then, you'll never be blown off by someone you're sure you know. You'll get instant info or quick reminders on everyone you meet. You'll never have to wonder who they are or what they're like.
Well, what's it say? Ye shall be as gods, right? That's what they're doing right now with that. It is augmented. It's more than augmented reality, right? And so, like in that. Now let's move that a step forward here and think about the pornography aspect of it. You're literally now that website that I tried to go look at something and I didn't like on just a regular website. I didn't like the pop-ups that were coming up. I just saw the, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to look at it. But anyway, and it was just a standard news website too, by the way. These stinking people are wicked, man. So the point is that they already have these online pornographic sites where you can digitally image anything or anyone and do whatever you want. That's what they're doing with that. See, you don't have to go door to door and take guns away from people when you turn them into fools. When you give them their bread and their circuses, and you turn their minds from being sober-minded, as the Bible has commanded us to be sober 8 times in the New Testament, when you turn their minds from that to the opposite of that, which is a bunch of perverts, you don't have to take over the country any other way. Satan already has control of it. I'll make some real statements here that upset people, but they're real. Number one, if you're into pornography, you're a dirty pervert, and you're actually, what you're doing is you're supporting the abuse of somebody's daughter. You're exploiting the exploitation of somebody else's daughter. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's child that you're looking at. And I don't care if they're 30 or however old they are. It doesn't matter. God said that we were not to look upon those things. So that's number one, you're just a pervert. Number two, you're dealing with the exploitation of somebody else's child, somebody else's daughter, somebody else's sister. That's what that comes down to. And the same thing goes for strip clubs or anything else. It's the same thing. Right, or somebody's mother. It's wicked and vile. And God hates it. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job chapter 31, verse number 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? The Bible says very specifically, well, these deep fake things that they're doing in videos and everything else, they're going to do this stuff. They're doing this worse and worse and enslaving people and trapping people and hardly able ever to make a differentiate between them. But Job said he made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He was talking about lusting after her. Jesus calls it fornication. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not thy whole body should be cast into hell. So the Bible's dealing with that. It's dealing with that problem of lust. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Evil concupiscence, inordinate. That means it is not ordained by God. It is affection that is inordinate, it's out of order. That's what that means. Let's see here. It means irregular, disorderly, excessive, immoderate, not limited to rules prescribed or to usual bounds, as an inordinate love of the world. Inordinate affections. Mortify, therefore, your deeds. Evil concupiscence. It's the coveting of carnal things, an irregular appetite for worldly things. Uncleanness. So we're to mortify those things. God tells us that we are supposed to do that. God tells us how we're supposed to deal with those things. Hannah says, so are Hallmark romance movies the same thing? Absolutely. All they are is a bunch of glorified relationships that are fake and stupid. Most of them are just fake and dumb. And they show all this garbage on there. And by the way, while we're on it, those romance novels that Christian women used to read and these Hallmark movies that they watch, those are wicked as hell too, because they paint a picture that's not real. Why don't you go work on your own marriage instead of worrying about what somebody else did or some fake story? So, God's word is clear about those things. God's word is clear about that inordinate affection and how to learn to practice. Right, watching movies where people are kissing each other and all those other things. It's just, all of it is a mindset. All of it is a mindset that leads to sin. We've been set up for it. Just been set up for it. You know, and you have these websites with these end times bots and all these other things that are going on right now. All setting it up. All setting it up. Live forever as a pervert, right? For the sake of children and everyone involved, there ought to be this abstaining from all appearance of evil, staying away from it. It's sad. The whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense. It's wickedness. It's vile. It's not new. It's been around for a long time, but it's getting worse. It's getting much worse. Now, let me say this to you, that God can deliver you from that. If you're stuck in that right now, God has the power to deliver you from that perversion. Jesus Christ is able to make you free. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I've preached some sermons on this that deal with specific topics. I think, number one, you've got to be born again. I don't think you'll ever get any victory over sin if you're not saved. I know you won't. Not any lasting victory, because the heart has to be changed. It has to be supernaturally changed by the Spirit of God. So your heart has to be changed. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find. There's the perils of pornography. Pornography is mind control. Let's see. Let me see if I can find that. Here it is right here. How to deal with inordinate affections, lust, and porn and get the victory. Listen to that. That'll help you. That'll help you. The Lord is able to make you free. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Every single one of the perverted sins that you've ever committed in your entire life and that I've ever committed in my entire life have been forgiven by Christ Jesus. He paid the price for them. If you were born again, He paid the price for your sins when you've repented and put your faith and trust in Christ. And if you've never done that and you can't get any victory over sin, then guess what? Victory does come through Christ Jesus. He is able. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. The Lord Jesus Christ is well able to deliver people from sin. He is well able to deliver the vilest of sinners. From the uttermost to the guttermost, He is well able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Absolutely. You need not sit in despair. You need to turn to the Savior and be born again by the Spirit of God. If you find yourself slipping back as a child of God into sin, then you must repent and you must turn and you must trust Christ. Also, this steps, these are, there's, let's see, I think I, man, I want to say, I thought I preached another one. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Man, I've preached a lot of sermons and broadcast. Let's see, that's 2019. I think it's probably be here, maybe. Let's see. Let's see. That's not it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Warring against porn. Plan for online purity. Right here. If you listen to this. If you listen to this. Warring against porn, plan for online purity. There's some steps, some practical steps that I give there. There's some practical steps that I give here. It's in this four-part series here on pornography, but it's called Warring Against Porn, a plan for online purity. And I covered it in there, and I talk about some steps that will help you, some things that you should do, that you ought to do to help you. And that you can get the you can get the victory over it by God's grace. Anyway, but I hope that you'll listen to it. It'll help you in the end with that. But obviously, it's Christ that gives the victory, and it's a dependence upon Him every day for you to be victorious. For you to have the power of God. All right. Anyway. Let's see here. All right. I'm about done here. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything? Oh, Hannah, I see. That was a statement about Hallmark, not a question. Let's see here. Oh, I hate talking about topics like this. It's not very much fun. We don't do this because it's fun, but, you know, it's just, I don't like talking about things like this. But I know it's things that nobody wants to talk about, that there's people out there that are in sin. There's people that are coming out of it. There's people, you know, I deal with how to deal with those inordinate affections in that series. How to deal with it after pornography, after it's over. How to deal with things properly after you've gotten the victory over that. You know, that's something I deal with in those sermons. Hard to believe it's been that many years ago. I preached those 5 years ago. Good night. Man, these two are 5 years ago. Huh. Anyway. Piper's fun ass. How's your family, Pastor? Are all staying healthy? Yep, we're... Surprisingly, we've all been pretty healthy. We haven't been sick at all. Yep, pray for us. Pray for our finances. Pray for our ministry, the needs, and all those things. Things sometimes get tight around ministries at the first of the year, and all that kind of stuff. So pray for us. We with all those things the Lord would continue to provide. Oh, by the way, thank you. Some folks have sent money and things through PayPal, and some have sent through check. And I just want to remind you, either make it out to Jason Cooley or Pastor Cooley, whatever you want to do, or make it out to a big long name I could give you because we're a trust. We're not a corporation. So if you write it out to Old Paths Baptist Church, there technically isn't legally an Old Paths Baptist Church because we're not a 501c3 corporation. You know, it's just a little different. So, because we don't want to be a corporation, we don't want to be a 501c3, we don't want to be a creature of the state or any of those other things. Buster is doing good. He's getting bigger, and he's still ornery. That's how Buster's doing. Still ornery. But he's doing pretty good. Let's see here. Can I use the term pornea bots for a story idea? Sure. I didn't make it up. it's just the word. So, amen. Oh yeah, Scripture has a lot to say about biblical modesty. I'll be talking about some of those other things in the future. Probably dealing with pornography again in the future. A few different things with that. I've got an aggressive schedule that I'm keeping with a bunch of different things that I'm teaching on and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, next time I'll give you any churches you can recommend in Southeast Wisconsin. Man, I don't even know where Southeast Wisconsin is, man. I am horrible with geography. Horrible. Give me an idea what cities you're near, and then I can tell you. But without that, man, I'm horrible with geography. I'm still trying to learn it, man. I'll tell you, I'm not very good at it. All right. Anyway, you all have a good night and take care of yourselves, and we'll see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday.